Good evening, everybody. Parashat Korach. When we talk about Parashat Korach, we always have to talk about what was going on in the head of Korach when he came against Moshe Rabbeinu and Aaron HaKohen. And we all know how terrible Machloket is, and one of the sources to understand how really it's bad, it's Parashat Korach. Because we see in Parashat Korach that even the babies were killed because of the Machloket. Because when earth swallowed, it swallowed everything. And one of the questions that the Gemara is asking, how can you blame the babies? They didn't do anything. You know, if you're bar mitzvah, bat mitzvah, okay. But small babies, and they say, like, when we're talking about machloket, it's like contagious. Like
but the
sons
weren't swallowed up.
Whose sons?
Korach.
And what with the sons of Datan and Avira? What if their children and all the others? they were all swallowed. Only the two sons of Korach were saved because they did tshuva the last minute. If they wouldn't have done tshuva, they also wouldn't have been swallowed. And this even makes the question even stronger. How do you expect a kid to do tshuva? He doesn't know what it's all about. But that's exactly the point.
Not even given a chance.
This is exactly the point. When we're talking about machloket, when you are being raised up in a house where there is a machloket, it's so contagious that it's going to influence you, even if you're a kid. On the contrary, we all know this is the famous thing. They came to this to one of the great rabbis, a young couple, and said, "We have a baby. When do we start educating?" He says, "You're too late. You had to start when he was already in the womb." And the lesson here is that we have to understand how we have to really fight to get away from Machloket. Because it's terrible. Look, who is Korach? What do you think? Is just a guy from the street? Korach was one of the people that was carrying the ark. He had Ruach HaKodesh. He had the Holy Spirit with him. He was rich. Let's say, Ashir KaKorach. He was rich than anybody else. In other words, he had everything. But he goes and stands against Moshe and Aaron. Why? The Gemara asks, Korach shepikeach haya, ma ra'a l'shtut zo? Korach, that was a clever guy. Why did he do this stupid thing?
What's it called? Yetzirah.
Yetzirah. But Yetzirah is a lot of things. But the worst Yetzirah is the Yetzirah of jealousy. Jealousy, honor, and lust. Says, הגאווה, התאווה והכבוד מוציאים את האדם מן העולם. Now, to understand how low he went, you have to see. Moshe Rabbeinu tells him, in the morning, you will come, we'll make a test. We make the test with what? With the Ketoret. And we all know what happens if you use the Ketoret in a wrong way. What happens?
The sons of Aaron
himself died. They were burned because they used the Ketoret in a wrong place. Here is giving a test to 250 people plus Korach, and we all know that how many are going to get the job?
One.
In other words, all the other 250 are going to die. So what's going on here? Now Korach knows the same thing. So they say Korach, he had the spirit, the Holy Spirit. He saw in prophecy that Shmuel Anavi, from his descendants, is written, Moshe ve'Aaron bekohanav u'Shmuel bekorei shmo. Shmuel is compared to Moshe and Aaron. In other words, from him,
when
the senders come, Shmuel, it means that he will survive. He didn't take in consideration what? that his two sons survived, not him. And from them came Shmuel HaNavi. But let's think about Korach. Korach was such a tzaddik, because he was a tzaddik. And this is the big lesson, that you can be a great tzaddik, but this can take you out and make you the worst person in the world. Jealousy and honor. Look what happened to him. He knows that only one is going to survive. Now he knows that he is the one. In other words, why do you convince 250 people to stand with you? When you know what?
That they will die.
They will die. This is evil. This is murder. You are calling 250 tzaddikim. Look
how. And they don't know?
In a minute we'll come to them. Here. ויקח קורח בן ניצר, בן קהת, בן לוי, ודתן ואבירם, בני אליאב, ואון בני ראובן, ויקומו לפני משה, ואנשים מבני ישראל, 50 ו-200, 250 people, נשיאי העדה, the president of the community, קריאי מועד, אנשי שם, people with name, like the top people of Am Israel, are those 250 people. Now, okay, so Korach is evil. And he become evil because of jealousy and honor. He came so evil to the point that he is really telling other people to stand with him when he knows very clearly that they are not going to last the test. Now the question is, those 250 people, what are they doing there? What are they stupid? Don't they know what's going to happen? In the second temple, Bet Mikdash Sheni, there were, if I remember right, 350 Kohanim Gdolim. Which if you do a calculation, the first one, the second one were around 70 years, were tzaddikim. All the others didn't last a year. Why? When Yom Kippur came, they went in, didn't come out. In other words, they didn't deserve to be Kohanim Gdolim. So how did they become Kohanim Gdolim?
Man.
Yes, they bought the Kohuna. Paid money for it. That to show you how corrupt it was. Now, I can understand the first one. Maybe even the third one. Say it's lize lo ikre. It's not going to happen to me. But how do you explain to me that the Kohen number 300 is buying the Kohuna when he knows very clearly the 299 Kohanim before him died? Is he stupid? Right. Or is it something else?
Right.
Agava, ata'ava, ve'akavod, motzi'im et ha'adam min ha'olam. You don't understand and read what people are willing to do for honor. And here you see those Kohanim Gdolim, and they, those people now, the 250 very clever people, tzaddikim, top people, are standing there. Because what is the meaning? Agava, pride, lust, atava, ve'akavod, and honor take the human being out of this world. Motzi'im et ha'adam min ha'olam. What does it mean? We all look in the street and we see a lot of people that are jealous, that are proud, that have lust, and they survive. They're going on with a beautiful life and they do all the good things. So what does it mean? I don't see it. What do I see? What do I see? I see an empty shell. That's what I see. I really see a beast, an animal, not a human being. Because a human being doesn't do what they do. But the minute they go into it, they don't control themselves anymore. There is this famous story, I think I told it to you, about a few years ago, they wanted to do a survey. How do you get rich? So they decided in the state, one of the universities, they're going to take 250 businessmen, billionaires, and a few people are going to stay with them for a few months to see if there is any way or a menu to get rich?
Secret.
What is the secret of becoming rich?
Marry a rich man.
What's the menu? What's the word?
What?
What is the recipe? What is the recipe to become a rich millionaire? Yeah. So one of the things that they write, that say on the spot, is that they, most of the day, they were competing with their competitors and trying to close them down, shut them down, and fighting with them. In other words, most of the day they were dealing with fighting with the competitors. Till they got to one of those billionaires, they didn't fight with nobody. Didn't care about nobody, and everybody loved him, and he did his only business, and he was very successful. So they couldn't understand what's happening here. So they sent a special group of people to ask him. They came to him and says, please tell us, what is your secret? Because you see that most of them, the people that were interviews and went with them for a few months, the main thing was rowing with the competitors, competing with the others, trying to do, we're not going to go into details. And you? You don't care about your competitors. So how? What is your secret? He's telling them, a few years ago, first of all, when I was young and I went into business, my father told me, you put a task in front of you, matara, and you go on it. You don't care what happens on the way. Competitors, you finish them off.
His father said. Oh,
this story.
Not my father, Baruch Hashem. No. And that's the way I did. I did it. Till a few years ago, we have a big chain of restaurants, coffee houses, and we were going around the world for a tour to see where to open another branch. And one of those times we went to Israel. And when we went to Israel, we went around Israel, and at the last day, our guy told us, now I'm going to take you to a very special place. And they were all thinking, it's going to take us to this archaeological place because, you know, Eretz Yisrael, it's an ancient thing. And he takes them to a yeshiva in Jerusalem. And he tells them, you see this building? They see a building with a lot of activity. I want to ask you a question. How many square meters do you think you need for an institute that you have 6,000 students? They did calculation, how many things you need staff? They came to calculation. They said, I think, what was it? Let's see, I wrote it down here. They did calculation. They get 150,000 square meters, and you know. Let's say the crew, or the people that deal with everything, the staff, will think around 400 people. Management, I think 20, like the high management. He says, okay, welcome to Mir Yeshiva. You have 6,000 students here on 3,000 square meters. 3,000 square meters. They said 150 square meters. 3,000 square meters. And you know how many? The staff of this institute? 20. And you know how many managers they have?
One.
And this manager decides on everything. He decides on the food. money, food, the money side, also the food, and also who is going to learn and what they're going to learn. They said, nah, impossible. So let's go to do a tour. They went in to see. Really, every corner is somebody. And the Talmidim, they learned that even he didn't notice them. So, okay, imagine to yourself the offices of an institute like this. And how the general manager looks. Okay, they imagine to themselves, they come to this room, very modest, and this old guy sitting there. He looks very ill. He says, this is the manager of all this operation. Him by himself decides on everything. They looked at him and they were afraid, but he didn't look so good. Reb Natan Tzvi Finkel Zatzal. He was a very ill person, and with all of this, he was running this whole operation by himself. And he says, you can sit and don't worry, he is a very ill person, but you can ask him whatever you want, and he speaks English because he was growing up in the States. So they sit on the go in, they sit on the side of the same, and they and he smiles to them and he says, yes, welcome. And one of this guy stands up and says, I want to ask you a question. How do you do this? What is your secret? It's impossible. This is not normal. What is your secret? Says Rafinkel, smiles and says in a very low voice, he was very weak, but he answers him and tells him, do you know what is the difference between human being and an animal, a beast? You know what the difference is? An animal, if it wants something, it doesn't care what's on the way. It just goes to take it. A human being, he can control himself. He can decide to help others, and even sometimes, even if he wants something, he has got the power to enjoy less in order for his friend to enjoy. And in this place, this yeshiva, we are human beings. You know, those words got right into his heart. And he, from this day on, stopped competing with all the competitors. And he decided that from this day on, he, if somebody needs his help, even if he's a competitor, he's going to help him. He doesn't fight with nobody. He only cares about his business, and he does it in the best way he can. He says, I had two things. First of all, suddenly I felt like a human being. I felt good. And you know the funny thing? The business didn't suffer from it. You know what business it is? Starbucks. Starbucks coffee. Yeah. And the guy, I didn't know at that time that it was Starbucks coffee. Somebody showed it to me. And he's Jewish, of course. His name is Howard Schultz, I think. And last week I heard when I was in China on the news that he is stepping down and giving the management to another guy, which also from the name is Jewish. And I think somebody told it's going to politics or something. But this is the unbelievable thing is to understand and realize that this guy really is the biggest coffee chain in the world. You know, in China, for example, in every street you have a Starbucks coffee. The only place, by the way, wasn't successful is here in Israel.
In Israel, really? Because coffee is not so great.
It's
not so great.
But you know, he is. Tell me, the turnover is like what's his name? It's one of the biggest turnover in the world of a business. In other words, this guy did it. This guy did it without competing with others. Without disturbing others, to teach us a lesson. You can be a human being and still be successful, not only from the spiritual point of view, also from the physical point of view, the materialistic point of view. In other words, you don't lose anything if you behave nicely to others. The idea is, Korach says, "Kol ha'eda kulam kedoshim, madu titnasu al kol ha'shem." Everybody is holy. Why do you think yourself better? Tells Moshe and Aaron, by the way. Well, Moshe and Aaron, we all know who they are. Most humble people in the world. And the thing is, what Korach is saying, he wants the power. So what are you talking about? Why do you put yourself on top of the people when you are the one who wants to be on top of the people? But is he right or wrong? Or maybe, are we holy or are we not?
Are we what?
Are we holy? That's what Korach says. Everybody is holy. Are we holy?
Yeah, of course.
When? When each one of us does his own job, then we're holy.
That's right.
But if we want the other one's job, yeah, then we're not holy. Then we are Korach. In other words, what Korach is saying is right. But only if each one of us keeps his own job. Now, we have to understand, it's not only keeping your own job, it's helping the other. There was this group of people. They went on a camp. Now, you know, in the camp you put groups. The red group, the blue group, whatever. And then, you know, they come to this field. And in the middle of the field you have a pile of material and sticks and things. They have to build tents. And then they tell them, the group that is going to build, be the first one to build the tents, is going to get a big reward. So everybody starts to build the tents. Now, the first thing is, each one of them wants to build his own tent. So they all go and try to build their own tents. And after a while they realize that it's very hard to do it by yourself. It's very heavy. You have to hold here and you cannot go to the other side. In other words, you need to help each other. So the one group decides, stop, let's help each other build the tents. And after a few hours, all the camp was ready, while the other group, they still were dealing, everybody wanted to try and build his own tent. So the big lesson here is, if you are looking only for yourself, not only you're not going to gain anything, you're going to lose. Like Korach, he wanted the job for himself. And at the end, what happened to him?
He lost
everything. Everything. Like, this guy was rich. He was clever. He had the Holy Spirit. He had everything. He lost everything because he wanted what is not his. Instead of helping each other. And that's exactly the problem of 250 people standing there. Each one of them wanted to be the one. Instead of thinking for a minute, 1 minute, we are one people, we are one, we together are one. If we're going to help each other, if we're going to understand that each one of us got his own job, why do I need to stand there with this guy? But the minute that you're in an ego trip, you don't see anything. As we said, we see a lot of people walking in the street and they have honor, and they have the jealous, and they compete with each other, and they not only survive, it looks like they're having a very good life. But the real truth is, those are not human beings anymore, because the path of the human being is not there. Like what this the Mishnah in Pirkei Avot say, "Agava, tava, vagod motziim," take out the Adam min haolam. They take human being out of the world. What is left? A beast, an animal, because the human being is not there anymore. So now you have a beast that only wants to eat more, 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 more. Doesn't care what's going to happen on the way. And what happens is that you only lose in this game. Like this with the camp. The minute that one of the groups understood that the only way to put up the camp is when they help each other, they were successful. The other group that thought each one for himself, what happened with them? Nothing. No tent. And this is, in order to achieve this thing, or kol ha'eda kulam kedoshim, you can do it. But you can do it only if each one of us is doing his own job.
There's a saying, there's no I in team.
Yes, exactly. If you're in sports also, if you're not a team player,
there's no I in team.
You cannot be there. And Am Yisrael is a group of people, and each one of us got, it's not only Am Yisrael, the whole world. That's the way the world functions. If we don't help each other, for example, last week, I'm in Hong Kong, because we went through Hong Kong, I'm going to Hong Kong, but before we go on the flight, we said, my son, well, let's go to the Jewish community in Hong Kong and have something to eat. They did me an inquiry there, and the guy said, after a few, I said, you know what? I don't want to eat. I don't want to see anything. Look at me. What's what? I'm a criminal. I'm a terrorist.
No,
you know.
Security.
but it's in Hong Kong and it's not so... Never mind, not going to go into it. This guy was stupid. It's a Chinese guy. If it was an Israeli guy, I would understand it. You know? Right. But it's a Chinese guy. They gave a Chinese guy a job for an Israeli. Never mind. And we're going in. By the way, it's a very beautiful, a very old shul, a very unbelievable, the Shoshun Hoilele, I think it's called, from more than 100 years. I mean, the community itself is 7 floors, whatever. But then, when we go back, we ask, we want to go to have this, the longest, how do you call it, those steps, the moving steps, how do you say
escalator.
It? The longest escalator in the world. Like it goes up, up, up. So we're going down, because down there is the metro that we can take us to the express train to the airport in Hong Kong. And we come to this, I don't know where to go. We got there, and then I see this woman, and I ask her, I see she looks, she's not Chinese, so I can talk with her, because the Chinese is a problem. And I ask her, do you know where is the metro to the... So she says, okay, I'll show you. Go here and there. And she go walking with us. We go here, down, left, right, and the other side says, tell me, do you need to go there? Says, no, I'm just walking you. Says, well, no, don't tell me how to go. I didn't feel nice about it. Says, no, what can I, can't I do something good for somebody? What's wrong? I want to do it.
She must have been attending.
And then she tells me next year she wants to come with her kids to Israel. I didn't ask if she's Jewish or not because I didn't know. But I tell myself, why? God is sending me an angel to walk me on the way. And it didn't end. We get to the metro and she says, okay, here you go in, you go there, it says. I go in, and this guy, Chinese guy, he heard what she's wearing, he says, and I'll show you in. He says, well, God is sending another angel. He's taking me in. I says, show me here, you know, here you go down, that's where you go to Hong Kong, to the airport. Okay, I go down. We come to pay what we have. We haven't got enough Hong Kong dollars. They have dollar or Hong Kong dollars, and the guy doesn't accept anything else, not Chinese money, not American dollars, only Hong Kong dollars. And I've got left, like I need maybe, let's say $1. Like nothing, but it's not even... What do you do? It says, you have to go out, climb up, go to the other side of the street, and there maybe you can pay with a credit card. Because he doesn't even accept a credit card. Nothing. He says, what are you going to do? I says to my son, Nathaniel, says, maybe we'll see somebody and ask him. No, it's only $1. We'll give him American dollars or whatever. And we see this guy, like with short trousers, and like he looks a tourist. We ask him, can you have got this? He says, yes, please, yeah, take it. Take it. We come to that end. We haven't got enough. We did the calculation. Another dollar we need. And we didn't have to exchange. He says, hey, take. So we give him, Baruch Hashem, we're going in. Going in, he says, where do you go? To the airport. Oh, I'm going also to the airport. So now we have a guide that takes us from here to the stage, to the station, to the this Metro Express, to the... And while we're talking and what, his father is Jewish. And this guy that looks like a simple guy is a pilot. And he was for
pilot.
He was for a Chinese company. And because of this, he lives near the airport. Uh-huh. And he takes the airport, and on the way we're talking about, he comes from, I don't know, one of this... on the other side of the world, but there they closed up the company, the one of the, I don't know, one of the air thing, I don't know what it was, I don't remember the name exactly of the country. So he didn't have any job. So he says they have 250 pilots, they were looking for jobs all over the world, and he's got a few of them even there in Hong Kong. But I'm saying is that Malachav Yetzavelach, well, God sent me angels. They took me like, if I had to do it by myself, I don't know if I would got the time to the airport. But like God say, off on the street, one angel, then another angel, and then another angel. You tell me. But the big lesson here was what it is to be a human being. And not only care of you for yourself. You know, all those people, they went out of themselves in order to help me to get to the place. And this, that's the lesson for us. To be a human being. That's the lesson of Korach and Adato. It's very easy to fight with each other. It's very easy to want what the other got. But that's not the way. That's a disaster. If we live in a world and run the world to look good, we have to help each other. And if I have to learn this lesson from Goyim or for half Jews or whatever they were, this is like God telling me, here, look, that's the way you should behave. If somebody needs your help, you help him.
Do you ever let on?
Hmm?
Do you ever let on?
Yes, why not? Everybody's a human being, if you can help, why not? Here you see that that's the big lesson. It's not only me. It's not only us. It's helping everybody. Everybody is a creature of God. That's the beauty of it. And this is the big lesson from Korach. Korach wanted the job that is not his. And by the way, to finish this lesson for 2 minutes, we see that Am Yisrael comes and says, Atem amitem et am Hashem. You killed God's people. They see the argument. They see the test. After this test, they should have been silent and says, okay, kadosh, 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 and don't talk anymore. But Am Yisrael come and complain to Moshe and Aaron. Is this possible? And even after they do the test with the sticks,
yeah,
they also complain. They says, what? Are we all going to die? What is going on here? What is going on here is very simple. Those 250, they've got no problem with Korach being killed and not with Datan and Aviram. Those are evil people. They have evil ideas. They were wrong. But why do you give a test that is going to cause 250 tzaddikim to die? Is this the right way? Moshe, you killed them. You could have given them a different test. Why did you give them this special test that you know what's going to happen? And you knew that they're going to die. And this is a right complaint. Think about it. Because those 250 people were not, if we were there, we also would maybe complain. Because you're talking about the biggest, like the righteous people. Take all the rabbis you know and put them in those 250 things. What would you think about the leader that puts them in a position like this? Is this a good leader? Big question. Big question. But that's exactly the point. Moshe Rabbeinu told them, Boker Yoda Hashem et Asher Lo. He says, he's already here. It's Aaron. Don't stand here. And if you stand, you're going against God. And if you go against God, then nothing is going to save you. Even if you're the most righteous people. So then the people say to themselves, what's going on here? Everybody, anybody that wants to get closer to God, what's happened to him?
Dies.
He dies. But then Moshe explains to them. He says, even if a Levi wants to take a job of a different Levi,
he will die.
If a Kohen wants to do a job of a Levi, there's a whole discussion in the Gemara.
Yeah.
He also can be killed. Why? Because that's exactly the idea. Korach stood against the idea that each one of us got a different job, and that's the beauty of Am Yisrael. That each one of us has got a job, and together we build Am Yisrael. Not I want your job, you want my job. That's not the way. God gave us a job. Each one of us got his own job. And it doesn't matter where you are and who you are. Even if you are a great tzaddik, if you want the job of somebody else, you are not a tzaddik anymore. Ayim tamnu ligvo? Yes. If you're going to get closer to God in a wrong way, yes. You're going to be killed. If you want to approach God, you approach God the way He told you to approach Him. There is a way. There is a book that tells you what to do and what not to do. The same thing was with the Meraglim last week. Because the next morning, people wanted to go into Eretz Israel. Moshe Rabbeinu told them, don't go. He says, why? We're doing tshuva. We want to go into Eretz Israel. Yesterday we didn't want, now we want. What? Is this Tofnit Kebakashatcha? What, you think you can do whatever you want to do? It's what God wants you to do. If God yesterday told you to go into SSL, you didn't go?
Finished.
Now God is telling you what? Not to go to SSL, and you want to go? What? Is this a mitzvah? And that's the worst thing, to put a sin with the cover of a mitzvah. And this is why they say, what is a machloket shelo leshem shamayim? What is the machloket not for God? This machloket of Korach. But Korach wanted to get closer to God. Says that's exactly the point. He didn't want to get closer to God. He wanted to get closer to himself. In other words, he covered it in a nice cover. And that's the worst thing to do. to be hypocrite, to tell you, I want to be holy, but this is not being holy. That's the other side of holiness. And this is why this is called a machloket shelo leshem shamayim. Because the idea behind everything is that we are one nation, one world, and our task in life is to fulfill our own task together with everybody else, like this big machine with all the parts in it and every screw in the right place. And if we put every screw in the right place, the machine works. If we put the screw here and here and there, the machine not only won't work, sometimes won't, it also can
break.
So the lesson of us is to each one of us, it's got nothing to be jealous of the others. Don't look for honor. The honor will look for you. If you do the good things in the eyes of God, and if we help each other to complete each other, not to compete with each other, then, Be'ezrat Hashem, we will come to the Yemei HaMashiach and to the Geulah, Shlema B'Mehra B'Yameinu Amen.